I firmly believe that there are two sermons that you hear on a Sunday, one that is sung and one that is preached. A good sermon, a good song will point you to the scriptures, just as Gordon has pointed out. And good songs will remind us about the great Savior that we have, as we have sung. And good songs will encourage us, as it has, as we worship together. So this morning, I will be speaking on the topic, Let There Be Light. And there is no better place to start a sermon than at the beginning. So if you open your Bibles with me to Genesis 1. We start at the dawn of creation, where before there was anything, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And here it goes. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the first day. So right off the bat, we have God entering into time and space, calling out the light. And you know what? There was light. But it's curious, light is a very unique object. It's not until day four, if you move down, that we have sun and the moon and the stars. So day four, let there be lights that expanse the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs and mark seasons, the days and the years, and let them be the lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser night to govern the night. We have the sun and the moon, the greater light and the lesser light. And then we also have, this may be the greatest understatement in all of Scripture. And he also made the stars. So, when you take a look at the stars in the sky, it's absolutely fascinating. They say on a good dark night, there's about 5,000 stars you can see with your naked eye. Now the Earth, we can only be on one side of the Earth at a time. You may have noticed that. So that cuts the amount of stars that we can see about in half. So on a good dark night. But there's light pollution, all kinds of other things that we see, and we'll get to light pollution here in a minute. But you take a look at our Milky Way, and you look at the vast amount of stars, and you look at the absolute immensity of creation. Light is very unique. This is why I think it's fascinating that the first thing that God created was light. Light is not measured in time. It's measured in speed. 1,800 miles per second, to give you an idea of how fast it is. 6 trillion miles in a light year. That is incredible. So it takes light about 1.3 seconds to get from the sun the Earth to the moon, 8.3 minutes from the sun to the Earth. Alpha Centauri, those of us who enjoy going out and with Martin and looking at the stars, 4.4 light years to Alpha Centauri. To how many miles in a light year? 6 trillion. So times four, how many times do you get to say globular cluster in church? Okay, we've got the M13, the Hercules, 2.5 million light years, and the Andromeda Galaxy. Or 250,000, 2.5 million to the Andromeda Galaxy. Our universe is huge. And he just spoke it into existence. And he also made all the stars. Unbelievable. It was Isaac Newton who figured out that light could act as a wave. So you take a look and you run light through a prism. And if those of you who recognize that this is the cover album of the Who, The Dark Side of the Moon, but you take a look, white light run through a prism separates out into all of the different wavelengths. That's how we get a rainbow. And when you take a look at Einstein, it was Einstein who figured out relativity. See, it used to be, it was originally thought that time and space had to were replaced, that the speed of light. In Einstein's day, it was believed that space and time were absolute and that the speed of light was relative. Einstein went against the grain and envisioned a world where space and time are relative and the speed of light was absolute. He asserted the equivalent of mass and energy, and that's where he came to the famous formula, E equals mc squared, that challenged the notion of what light could, light and darkness, and we figured out that light was not only a wave, it was a particle. This helped open the door to a whole new world of quantum physics. For this paper that he wrote, he won the Nobel Prize in 1921. Light is fascinating. So you have all these scientific achievements. And it was I who discovered that when you have a fidget spinner and you take a long picture exposure, that you can make some crazy figures. See, with long exposure photography, light is additive. Unlike our normal eyes where we see a light and it immediately dissipates, with the camera, the more light you add, the more light you see. And so you can make all kinds of things. So this opens up an entire universe of taking a look at natural phenomenon and looking at it over a period of time. So for example, we have the Earth spins around. The stars are stationary, the Earth spins. So when we take a look at long-term exposure, we point to the North Star, we point to true north, and we take a look and we see the stars spinning around. Now you can also see in this photography, in this photo, you can see all of the airplanes that are flying all over. This was from LA to Las Vegas. And you can see all the amount of traffic that we have. Actually, Martin, where we were at, this is, we were out where the RTMC, not RTMC, the other one's out in Apple, was it Apple Valley? Johnson Valley. We're out in Johnson Valley. And you take a look over here, and you can see, you can't see this with your naked eye, but over a period of time, you see this giant light over here. I said, what is that? That's the lights of Las Vegas that you could see from the desert. It's so much artificial light, and we're going to talk about artificial light here in a moment. But you can always tell by when you take a look where the North Star is, because it's the center. And you want to know where the center is. You want to know where true north is. Helps you navigate. And the further you get away from the center, it's just beautiful, the God's creation. Now the Bible talks about light and darkness all over the place. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So we have the Lord as light. I'm going to be jumping all around. If you notice, I have the big fill in the blank. So keep up if you can. Psalm 119. How sweet are your words to my taste, how sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This came alive to me in a new way. I was actually Mary and I were in Romania, and we were at one of the Roman ruins. Now, who would have guessed that there was Romans in Romania? It took me a little while, but you know, a little slow on the uptake. But we were looking at one of the Roman, and we were going down into to see one of the dungeon areas, and there was no light. And we're going down the steps, and this is dangerous. And our guide, Cosmin, he pulls out his iPhone, and he flipped on his little light. And in that dark space, it just lit up the whole thing. Your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Never underestimate the smallest light in a dark place. It shines bright. Proverbs 2, 13 through 14. He's talking about men turning from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong and enjoy the twisted ways of evil. So now we have darkness being related to evil. John 12, John is fantastic in terms of the in the New Testament. It's 70 different times that they use light and darkness in reference to Christ and goodness. And 30, over half those times are in the book of John. So the crowd answered him, "Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you only for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." So he references now, light has moved from paths and evil and darkness to evil ways to light as a person. Light is the Jesus calls himself the light of the world. The Word became flesh in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So it takes us right back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? Christ is the light. Now, we talked about the greater light and the lesser light. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. And people were asking him, "Are you the man? Are you the light who was promised in the Old Testament? Are you this man?" It's not me. It's Jesus. He is the... So you have the lesser light pointing to the greater light. Lesson learned. The true light, which gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The one who spoke the world into existence came down, and we didn't recognize him. Our eyes were blinded. We couldn't see. Jesus came to save the world. John 12, Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." John 8, Jesus spoke from with them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So now light is created, is an analogy to life, which means darkness is to death. Acts 26, Paul's praying, "Open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God." So we have life, light, God, darkness, Satan, death. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," Ephesians says, "but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness." The world, the flesh, and the devil. This present darkness. "Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We get to the end. So we started at the beginning. We get to the end, Revelation. "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its light." Revelation 22, "And the night shall be no more. They will need no light, no lamp, no sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So now we have light in the new kingdom to come in heaven. There is a constant battle. We have foolishness and evil deeds, wickedness, Satan, lies, death, hell on one side. And we have wisdom, deeds of righteousness, goodness, Christ, truth, life, heaven is represented with light. The Bible shows a constant clash between light and darkness. But can't we just all get along? I mean, don't all religions teach the same, basically the same thing? And this is a better bumper sticker. Contradict. They can't all be true. Jesus made it very clear in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's a line in the sand or a light in the darkness. Just to take a few, we take a look at the yin and the yang, where we have goodness and evil, but there's a little bit of goodness in the evil and a little bit of evil in the goodness. But Scripture says in John 5, this is the message that we have heard from him proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Naturalists, it's all darkness because all we have is random chances, random processes, and evolution that created our universe. New Age believe there were all light and all little gods just waiting to be enlightened. For those who enjoy Star Wars, great movies, bad theology. We don't need balance. We're not looking for balance of light and darkness. Darkness, death. Death needs to be defeated. It is an enemy. Fortunately, we have a remedy. The greatest argument for the truth of the Bible is the empty tomb. Just look at the empty tomb. Prove that Christ didn't raise himself from the dead. And we are to be pitied. But because there is an empty tomb, we can trust that is what is said. Jesus believed in the Bible, and so do I. Light is real. We see it in a newborn baby's face. We see it in a sunrise. We see it in the love between a husband and a wife and in a family. Darkness is real. We read it in the headlines. Tornadoes, tsunamis, war. If we're honest, we don't have to look further than our own hearts to know that darkness is real. See, God is more holy than we could ever imagine. You are more sinful than you'd like to admit. See, the Bible describes us as blind, deaf, and dead. Oh, if we can only tell somebody who is blind, see! If we can only tell somebody who is here, who is deaf, hear! If we can only tell somebody who is dead, come to life! But when we say it, it means nothing. But when God says, open your eyes, we see. When God says, hear. This is why we pray, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Because in our natural state, we are blinded. And so Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. Above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? I mean, can't we just follow our hearts? It will lead us in the wrong path. Now, if that's bad, it gets worse. Jesus says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. People love the darkness rather than light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. Let his works be exposed. What are we to do? How do we move from darkness to light? Christ came to bridge the gap between darkness and light. Jesus came, born of a virgin, led a perfect life, died on a cross of wood, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Paul said to the jailer, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. this isn't, we're not talking about believing in facts that Jesus died, or that Jesus was a person, that he was a good man, that he walked the earth and, you know, maybe he was around. We're not talking about believing in facts. See, the demons believe and they shudder, according to James 2. They believe in God. It's one thing to acknowledge the fact about the chair that you're sitting in. It's another thing to actually sit in the chair and to place your full weight upon it. See, we're talking about putting your faith and your trust in the finished work that Jesus paid our penalty and our sins on that cross. And if you haven't done that, why not today? Why not put your full faith and trust in the one, the light of the world, that who created the heavens and the earth, who sent his son to die? Growing up, I went to Liberty University. Jerry Falwell, famous altar call, the one that worked for me, in terms of, if you think you need to repent, come forward and repent. If you have never accepted Christ, come forward. If you've fallen away from Christ, come forward. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if you haven't been walking in the light, repent. Walk in the light. See, Christ has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. But we have to believe first. What do we do now? Or as Francis Schaeffer says in his famous book, how shall we then live? Walk in the light. We need to walk in the light. Society says we live in shades of gray. Some say 50 shades of gray. But we are to walk in the light. Ephesians 5, 6, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. John 7, walk in the light as he is in the light. Ephesians 3, walk as children of light. The fruit of the light is found in all that is good and that is true. It's okay to ask for illumination. Wisdom, you know, we ask for wisdom when we need insight and direction. James 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Illumination is understanding. Our minds and our eyes need to be opened, and we need to be illumined. See, it's a flashlight. My word is a light. Somewhere else in Scripture, the Word of God is described as a sword. So what do you get when you combine a flashlight and a sword? You get a lightsaber right here in the Bible. See, we don't need to be chasing for new experiences and looking for new revelation. The canon is closed. You open yourselves up to all kinds of danger when you look for new things outside of Scripture. The Mormons have the Book of Mormons. The Adventists have the teachings of Ellen White. More recently, we have Jesus Calling. We need to stick to the Scriptures and ask for the Lord to use that flashlight and shine what's already there. Our challenge is understanding what's been done. If we knew fully what Christ has already done on our behalf, our doubts would go away. We would understand about the sovereignty of God, and we would know about the hope that he provides. See, Hebrews 1, in many times, in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. They were looking for new revelation, and they needed it. God wasn't done yet. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. Ephesians 1:8, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance of the saints. We need that the eyes of our heart be enlightened. I found these prayers on the internet. I just found them to be so helpful in terms of the posturing the humility. Almighty God, you have hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that may we see the wonders of your word. And give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see the light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace through Christ our Lord. God, source of all light, by your word you give us the light to our soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and our minds may be open. To go back to Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, and the inheritance of the saints. Now, one of the things that we need to do, we walk in a dark world. We need to watch for artificial light. As you saw the picture of the Las Vegas light shining, overshadowing the lights, this is what a dark sky looks like, and this is what our city lights look like. It's unbelievable. The greatest source to distinguish the light is artificial light. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil, as Gary talked about last week. Let me take these in a different order. Satan is describing himself as an angel of light. Paul's talking about false prophets. So it's no surprise that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. See, in the world, we're confronted with false substitutes. We confuse love for lust, money for wealth, likes for friendship. See, the good is the enemy of the best. If you think of looking forward to a great Thanksgiving feast, but you fill up on peanuts and olives, maybe some carrots. But if you fill up, you miss out on the best because you filled up on those things, artificial light. The flesh entices us to indulge, to put the spotlight on us. It's easy to think that you're the center of the universe because everywhere you go, you're there. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. But Christians, brothers and sisters, we get sophisticated because we put the spiritual language, especially when it comes to finding blessing, favor, or prosperity. Usually someone will take an obscure passage out of the Old Testament, out of context, and say, if you follow this formula, you'll get what you desire. If you pray this way, if you tithe this way, if you fast this way, if you say these things, you will get what you want. False light. We are in a relationship. We're not into manipulation. We can't magically say words and add in Jesus' name at the end and it comes to pass. Jesus says the Lord reigns on the just and the unjust. Job had it right. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God has blessed you, be thankful, be humble, be generous. But don't think that God can be manipulated into giving you what you want. See, we need to be salt and light. This is one of my favorite prayers that I pray for our church, that we would be salt and light. The analogy that Jesus uses in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, then he moves on. You are the light of the world. So if the salt loses its saltiness, if the light loses its lightiness, A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Las Vegas cannot be hidden either. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so it gives light in all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. Luke picks up on that same idea. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. These are the good deeds. We are to be salt and light, first in our homes, because that's where we are the most. And it's probably, in your family context, probably the hardest places to shine, because you all know the buttons to push to get the people to, you know what I'm talking about. We're to be salt and light in our community, in our workplace, in our schools, in our community. Here, where God has planted us, in Loma Linda, we need to be salt and light. 2 Corinthians 4, but we have these treasures in jars of clay, picking up back on creation where God picks up on that we were created from the dust of the earth, jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, crushed, not crushed, perplexed, not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. See, none of us, if we're honest, hasn't been damaged by our own sin or the sin of others. We tend, in our Christian communities, we tend to try to fix up, to look good, to hide the cracks in our jars of clay. You ever heard of cracked pots? We're a bunch of cracked pots here at Redeemer Fellowship. And it's in that brokenness, when the light shines, we get to see. People get to see the light in the cracks. My Uncle Don Wolf just went through a tremendous bladder. He had his head of his bladder removed, and it was an amazing journey. He went ahead and decided, rather than to keep it to yourselves, it's not fun to talk about chemotherapy and ostomy bags and all of the weakness and how you're doing, but he decided to blog about it, to let people in that journey. He was cracked, and he let the light shine in the darkness. I was so proud of him. It was a great example. We had breakfast one time when we lived back in Colorado. I go, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Things are great. Unbelievable. He goes, Bruce, let the light shine in the brokenness. And it was just a great reminder. Now, it's easy in our society to see all that we have, all that's going around us. My friend Scott Blakey says, we don't overcome the darkness by staring at it, by commenting at it on how dark it is, but by shining the light of the gospel into it. For it is God who said, let light shine out of darkness. This is the passage that you could turn to. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one. Okay. Do you notice? We're right back at the beginning. It is this great God who created the heavens and the earth, who separated the light from the darkness, who made the day and the night, who came, who emptied himself of all that he had, who didn't think of everything to be grasped, to held on to. He came out into this world. For God, he is the one who has shown in our hearts to give light in the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the answer to the darkness. The good news is that God came to bridge the gap between darkness and light. We need to bring Jesus to a lost and to a dying world.